Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Today we will read from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 1, Observing the Amish, Text 37 and Text 38. I will read the Sanskrit. Yatyapyate napashanti loba pata shetasha kulakshaikitam dosham mitradoi sapatakam katam nahyeyam asmabi papatasman nivaritum kulakshaikitam dosham prapasya birchanartana. So, read translation. O Janardan, although these men, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one's family or quarreling with friends, why should we who can see the crime in destroying a family engage in these acts of sin? Purport. A Kshatriya is not supposed to refuse to battle or gamble when he is so invited by some rival party. Under such an obligation, Arjuna could not refuse to fight because he had been challenged by the party of Duryodhana. In this connection, Arjuna considered that the other party might be blind to the effects of such a challenge. Arjuna, however, could see the evil consequences and could not accept the challenge. Obligation is actually binding when the effect is good, but when the effect is otherwise, then no one can be bound. Considering all these pros and cons, Arjuna decided not to fight. I read the translation again. Ujjanardhan, although these men, their hearts overtaken by greed, see no fault in killing one's family or quarreling with friends, why should we who can see the crime in destroying a family engage in these acts of sin? Om Ajnanati Mandasya Janjanasanaka Shakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Chitchitanya Manopistam Staptam Yena Bhutale Svam Rupta Dhamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Pandiyam Siru Shri Yudha Padkamlam Sirum Vaisnavam Sam Yerupam Jagajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parjana Saitam Si Krishna Chitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lita Sivshakam Vitam Sha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandha Dhyatpate Gopesha Kopka Kanta Radha Kanta Namastate Tapta Kanshna Gauram Hiradi Vrindavaneshwari Vishwana Sita Devi Pranamaya Hari Priya Pankha Kalaptrubhisha Kripasan Vivsha Patanam Pravana Bhyo Vaishnam Bhyo Namo Nama Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Paramo Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Sadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Charitamrita Namini Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Bhutale Srimad Bhakti Vedanta Swamita Namini Namaste Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Pacharina Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Bhaskachai Desatarini. So, we'll first hear the commentaries of Bhujan Prabhu and Purnachanda Maharaj. Very interesting commentaries on these verses. According to Shastra, they were due to be killed. But Arjuna is using a higher Shastra and saying that it will not be sinful even if we kill them as aggressors, but they are relatives. Even if they are aggressors, it will still be sinful if we kill them. And Janardhan, so he says, Janardhan, their hearts are overtaken by greed. Look what they are willing to do to gain a kingdom. They are willing to kill every Kshatriya on this planet. They don't care. Their hearts are overtaken by greed. They see no fault in killing one's family. But why should we, who can see the crime in destroying a family, engage in these acts of sin? They are greedy. Let them do it if they want to do, but we know better. We are not interested in this. Let us not fight. Now Arjuna begins to describe the horrors that happen when one's family is destroyed. Dynasties were so powerful. When born in the Kuru dynasty, they had such karma, powerful, elevated souls, that they were capable of ruling the entire world. Ruling the world is not a job of even an ordinary devotee. Prabhupada once explained that to become king of the world is for Mahabharatas. And this was their karma, to be born in this type of family. We see that so many times Krishna will address Arjuna, O son of Kunti. This is your family heritage. How can you not fight? How can you not engage properly? This was the mood of the Kshatriyas. They were proud of their family. They would uphold their family tradition. And if this family tradition is destroyed then practically, because all the rest of the population would be dependent on the kings, and the rest of the population would be in great trouble. And the sacrifice that the elderly of the family would perform, the benefit for the forefathers and the future generations will practically meant the future of the world, these would stop. So therefore Arjuna is saying that too much bad is going to come. That now Purnachandra Maharaj, he looked it from another angle. That says, please note that the word Kulakshaya appears in every of these verses, and in verse 39 also. So this is the fourth reason. Kulakshaya, the destruction of the Kula or dynasty. It's the fourth reason. The first reason was, I feel compassion, that, and the second reason was, I will not be able to enjoy. The third reason is that we will get big sinful reactions, and the fourth reason is this Kulakshaya, destruction of the family tradition. Four reasons that are given in this last part. Prabhupada comments there in text 38 that obligation is actually binding when the effect is good, but when the effect is otherwise, then no one can be bound. Interesting that you have a duty, but only when the effect is good you are bound to do it. Otherwise, that someone may be obliged to do something, but if the effect is bad, then there is no obligation. Of course, if you make a vow, a promise, then that may be something different. The rules of Dharma are not so easy to understand, and they become very subtle. Prabhupada writes, a Kshatriya is not supposed to refuse to battle or gamble when he is so invited by some rival party. Under such an obligation, Arjuna could not refuse to fight because he had been challenged by the other party of Duryodhana. In this connection, Arjun considered that the other party might be blind to the effects of such a challenge. Arjun, however, could see the evil consequences and could not accept the challenge. Obligation is actually binding when effect is good, but when effect is otherwise, no one can be bound. Considering all these pros and cons, Arjuna decided not to fight. So he had very, very good reasons not to fight. They are logical. They are shastric, according to the scriptures. They are good. They are moral, but they are all wrong. Because Krishna is Dharma personified, and he is right there on the chariot with him. And he's going to tell him, all your reasons are bogus. That's the rest of the Bhagavad Gita practically. Krishna explains that. All your reasons are bogus. You must fight. Now you must fight. Just like if you are driving a car. That's an interesting analogy that he's going to tell. There's Purnachanda Maharaj speaking there, and yes, before him 30-40 students, all brahmacharis in Pune. So it's in Pune you will hear. Just if you are driving a car around Pune, you may come to a red light and you stop your car, because in front of a red light you must always stop. That's the rule. If there's a policeman standing there in the row and he's going like, and goes like this, then you should follow him, because it means the light is broken. If you stop your car and the policeman is going like this, and you say, oh, look at the light, and he says, then there is going to be a battle, right? The policeman is like the personification of the law, and he knows according to time, place and circumstances what should be done and what should not be done. In this circumstance, the light is broken, so you should follow him. That is why he's there. That is why he's standing like this. But Arjun, in this chapter, he points to the light. To Krishna is saying, but look, it is said the general rule is like this, Krishna. And Krishna is saying, come on, Arjun, let's fight, let's do it, come on. This is the difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law. If someone is too absorbed in the letter of the law, and then they will misunderstand the proper application of the law in particular circumstances. And Krishna can and obviously knows that proper application, because he has assimilated all the dharmic shastras and is the source, Vedasas Sasarvam Amiva Vedya. That's 1515 Bhagavad Gita. Vedantakit Vidavite Vacham. He's one who is to be known by all the Vedas, so he has completely assimilated all of them and he can apply them to time, place and circumstances. So we have to become like Krishna. We have to understand all the dharmas fully, all the different arguments of the absolute truth, which is like a magnificent diamond with many facets. When we understand all those facets, then we can understand how to apply dharma in a particular circumstance. If we don't assimilate the philosophy, but we just repeat like a parrot, or blindly accept things without thinking deep about them, then we won't know later when to apply the particular circumstance. We won't know what to do. We will start running back and look to Bhagavad Gita and look to our notes, but someone who has actually used this intelligence to understand all the facets of the sastra deeply, then he will be able to assimilate everything, and actually it becomes a part of his blood. The understanding of Dharma will be in his blood, and he will be able to apply it. So Krishna is naturally like that, and Arjuna is acting out of role as someone who has not assimilated Dharma Shastras, and is just pointing to what he has understood, what he has heard in the past, without understanding the circumstances. So now from text 39 going forward, there are ramifications of the Kulakshaya. It is the same reason, but there are just ramifications when you destroy the dynasty. So there are a few points here which are quite important. Like these different levels of Dharma, it's so difficult to understand. You have in the Ramayana, we have King Dasharath. King Dasharath, yes, he also Lord Ramachandra later. Especially Lord Ramachandra, he saw his position as a king was a higher dharma than the dharma of a householder. That we see that with Sita, when after the battle with Ravan, they went back to Ayodhya, and when Ram was incognito was in the city, he heard a man quarreling with his wife, and he said his wife was she went somewhere in the night, and the man said, I don't want to accept you back. That's just, and he said, I'm not like Ram, who accepted Sita back. and Ram, Lord Ram, heard this when he was incognito in the city, and then he decided, he decided to ban Sita to the forest, because his dharma, his Raj dharma as a king, was more important than that of the Kriyasta dharma or the You have these different levels. Also, like, it is the duty of a Kshatriya when challenged to fight or to gamble. When he's challenged, is that Yudhishthira, he was. He was not a good gambler, but he was challenged, and he had to go to it. but then, at a certain moment, he lost everything, and then the next bet was on Draupadi, and he lost Draupadi. And then there is a whole discussion between Draupadi and Yudhishthira that. About this dharma, how is it possible that you lost everything, and you lost yourself everything? So you were already a slave from Duryodhana. How could you give me then anyway? There are different levels of dharma. I remember reading an article about that incident, and there are many arguments that come up there. Because also that's what Arjuna is saying here, that and he's quoting different shastras. Yeah, yeah. He says, yes, this in the Manu Samhita, he said, you cannot kill a relative. And then I think, was it Arthashastra is saying, yes, you have to kill aggressors. So you see these different levels, but that's meant for different circumstances, and one has to know these circumstances. But it's good to know all these shastra and all these circumstances, but there is a higher principle here. Krishna is present there, and the thing is that all these shastras from the Karmakanda and the Manu Samhita is human behavior and how to avoid sinful life and how to live a pious life. But it has all to do with, practically, with piety and impiety. It's related to the body. It's related with creating new bodies. But here, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, you should fight because I want you to fight. So here we come to the position of the soul. The soul is entangled with matter and spirit. In fact, it's not really entangled, because if the soul can never be influenced by matter. But a symptom of the soul is consciousness. And when the soul is in pure consciousness, it's not entangled in matter. But when it becomes contaminated, then it becomes entangled in matter. What Krishna is saying to Arjuna is, you should fight for my sake, that's the whole thing of the Bhagavad Gita. Not for your body, not to get success, not to get failure, because that's for the body. Success and failure on the absolute does not exist, it's not there. So one, the Bhagavad Gita is meant to instruct us, we have to act on the spiritual platform. The platform of the soul and not the platform of the body. To regulate this body life, and we have the Varnashram system and so on, it's just meant to bring one to the mode of goodness, which is also a material situation, but it's the most peaceful situation in the world. And from there it's more easy to absorb one in transcendental consciousness, in devotion, because that's what Krishna says, where is happiness when one is always disturbed? One must first get peace, shanti, peace, and then one can get happiness. So first So that's very important in our life, in everything what we do. Are we acting to get some profit out of it for a temporary body, or are we acting without material attachment? Without a material attachment, are we acting according to the yoga principles, linking everything with Krishna? And yoga stoka karmana sangam chat vidansa siddhasitya samabhutva samatvam yoga uchati. Yoga, Krishna says, is this sameness of equanimity in mind, that one is equal always in success or failure. That's simple words. Everything what happens, good or bad, is Krishna's mercy. That I accept that. And like we have heard that Bhishmadev, when Duryodhana was glorifying him, he was not much interested. He took his conch and blew the conch shell, and that was his way of saying, success or victory of defeat is in the hands of the Lord. I'm just doing my duty as a Kshatriya, and I will give my life. And that's the position of a pure devotee. There you can already see how Bhishmadev was a pure devotee. He was not interested in this glorification. I'm just doing my duty. Of course, we will see further in Bhagavad Gita. You have Nishkam karma, it means acting out of duty. That's no strive for success or failure. Just doing your duty. But it's very difficult in the world to do that. Because we have always some profit calculation is going on. Some little thing is going on. But it's more easy, instead of trying to act out of duty, is acting for Krishna. Then that's the highest duty. Then you are, it is said in the Bhagavatam that one who is engaged in devotional service, he has no duties to the forefathers, to the king, to the relatives, and so on. There are no duties, because that's the highest duty. When you serve Krishna, you serve everything else. Because also one of the arguments here that this Kulaksaya, that Arjuna is saying, yes, when the family tradition is destroyed, yeah, there will be no pinda, no offering to the forefathers. Because according to Shastra, forefathers, pious forefathers, they can go to Pitri Loka. It's like a lower heavenly planet. And the forefathers go there, and they can stay there as long as their family members do regular offerings to the Pitri Lokas. So therefore, one must have a son who does these sacrifices after one's departure. Therefore, many go to Gaia also, like Lord Chaitanya. Good, these are things in the Manusamhita. One can say, it has no importance for us, but Lord Chaitanya did it. He went to Gaia to fulfill that duty. That was his his duty. One who becomes a devotee is relieved of all these duties. It is said in the scriptures, one will becomes a pure devotee. It's explained by Nrisimhadev the Prahlad Maharaj, 21 generations will be liberated. That's in the 21 generations. So we may think of our father, our grandfather, and so on. But it's not only in that direction. It's in our previous life, we had also father and mother. They will also be liberated. It's also 21 generations back. So that's very interesting. So But of course, that will be further explained in Bhagavad Gita. We have two svadharmas, a material svadharma and a spiritual svadharma. Our spiritual svadharma is serving Krishna. But we have also material svadharma, we have to take care of this body. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, one must, even to maintain one's body, one must work. So there is some endeavor that's material duties. We get a body according to and a certain psychophysical nature, and we have to act according to that nature. And acting, if we act according to that nature, that's not sinful. If we act contrary to that psychophysical nature, it's sinful. Like a kshatriya, his duty was to kill aggressors. That's not sinful for him, that killing. But if he kills outside of his duty, then it becomes sinful. Like a vaishya, he is allowed to lie in his business because that's going to together with his business. He has to make profit somewhere or another. But a Brahmin cannot lie. He has to be truthful. He's in the mode of goodness. That's another psychophysical nature. So there are different rules and for different kind of people of in different situations and circumstances, and one has to know all this on the level of the materials for Dharma. But if you become pure devotees, then finally there is only spirituals for Dharma. If one completely surrenders to Krishna, completely, in everything, there's no materials for Dharma. But that's very rare. Complete surrender means, without material desires. We are not yet on that platform. So we are on the way of that platform. So therefore, material duty is still for us also. Material svadharma, very important. It's not that we can neglect it, these material duties. But at the same time, we should fully engage in spiritual activities and spiritualize our life. It's awesome. So many things to learn, but the main point here is one must learn to act on the spiritual platform always. Then we are following the higher principles, the policeman. Because following all of Krishna's instructions, that means surrender. Means understanding these instructions. Like Purnachanda Maharaj is explaining here, we can hear all Bhagavad Gita, but it's useless when we don't know how to apply it. Of course, first one must understand it, and then understand it in a practical sense, how to apply it. That's very important. How to apply it. If in Bhagavad Gita Krishna says yesa svasya bhoga tu yesa svasya bhoga tu kayona evate atyanta from the kantya samate that this verse says yesa svasya bhoga tu kayona evate atyanta from the kantya nati shramate bhu. Buddha. The wise man has concluded that If one acts for sense gratification, that's just the source of misery. A wise man is not interested in it, because it has a beginning and an end. So that's a practical instruction. Everything has a reaction in this world. If we act for sense enjoyment, that means the reaction is suffering. So that we should always remember that also in Bhagavad Gita it is said that a yogi must learn to withdraw his senses from the objects in your insight. Must be protective, because the senses are like thieves. For once they become attracted to sense objects, then this attraction is there, and lust will enter your consciousness. And in other words, the senses are stealing the intelligence, your transcendental intelligence. And you become covered by lust. And these are all important instructions in Bhagavad Gita. When you go out on the street, look where you put your eyes on. Very important. Don't let your senses meditate on anything. Best way to avoid that is to engage your senses always in devotional service. Still the material world is so dangerous. But if we this verse is the process of fall down. It's when the senses meditate on the sense objects, and then the mind says, yes, I want to enjoy it, and start to meditate on it, and then expectations arise in the mind. We want that enjoyment, and then one strives for that enjoyment, but then when the enjoyment comes, it's not what expected, and one becomes frustrated and angry, and then one loses my memory, falls down. That's the process. Bhagavad Gita explains how all the tricks of Maya, and we know, we have to know these tricks, that we not fall into these tricks by always engaging ourselves in devotional service. That's also what Krishna says to Arjuna here. All your reasons for not fighting, very nice reasons, but they are logic, shastric, everything, but they are all wrong. Because that's all related to the soul, to the body, and the relationships between bodies and this world and other bodies. And this relationship is very temporary. It's now there, but soon it will not be there anymore. I've seen in my own life, ago 40 years back, I was 13 years old. Everyone I knew them is not there anymore. Those who have survived, I would not recognize them anymore. Because their body would have so changed. I don't know. So it's all gone. But we think this situation now, that's very important, how that it now is. But it's a very temporary thing. That my Guru Maharaj, Srinivas, my god brother, you know Srinivas? Yes, my Guru Maharaj, yes. What should I do? Where should I serve? Maharaj Ramaj said, it doesn't matter where you serve, wherever you are with the devotees, in whatever temple you are, you ask them, how can I serve you? You do your service, and you hear Prabhupada and the books. That it doesn't matter where you are, what the situation is, it's all temporary. And that's what we have to realize. It's all temporary, it's all, there's no meaning. That 500 million soldiers killed. Yes. If that would not have happened, they would not be killed. Would they be still alive? No. They have to die anyway. But most of them died very glorious. They made all spiritual advancement, and they went to a higher platform of existence. It's very auspicious that someone has to leave his body, and we get tears. But leaving one's body, Krishna says, one who takes birth, death is sure. One who dies, birth is sure. So the person gets a new body, should be happy to get a new body. The old body was so troublesome, you get a new body. So that's the spiritual platform. No anxiety. No anxiety. We are just... And that's what Krishna is saying to Arjuna. All your reasons, bogus. Forget it. That just do your duty on the spiritual platform. That and you will get ecstasy and... That inner realizations, and you get to a higher platform of existence after death. So that's what we have to concern with. There is nothing to achieve in this world. Really nothing. Google News, Ukraine, Malaysia airplanes. That's. It's all temporary. You see, history is repeating itself, and they are not learning from the history. It's again the same thing as 50, 60 years ago, with the Soviet Union and America, and the same kind of tendencies are coming up. And that because it's the law of karma. That they are not in control, they get all their karma. Because nobody is the doer in reality. That's the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. We are doing only by our desire. And that's the most difficult thing in Bhagavad Gita, to understand that we are not the doer. That everything is done by nature, and nature is under control of the Super Soul. And Super Soul, it gives us what we deserve and what we desire. What we desire, but what we deserve. That's, to that extent, our desires are fulfilled. And that. So, that's therefore, it's important to desire spiritually. Of course, Arjuna here, he feels his great compassion. But in the next beginning of the next chapter, Krishna will start chastising Arjuna. He will call his will use very heavy words and say, your compassion, it's misplaced. That it's on the bodily platform. That it has no use. This is not the position of an Aryan. An Aryan is one who knows the value of life. He knows he's a spirit soul and not his body. And he's not attached to the body. He's happy to leave it every moment. No problem. That's someone on a spiritual platform, ready to go every moment. No plans in this world, other than serving the instructions of the spiritual master and his mission. It are great lessons, Bhagavad Gita, in that sense. But that's the quality of a leader. A leader must be able to lead with detachment. And when one is detached, one can think clearly. This is where the Mahabharavats, who control the whole world, Yudhishthira was a Mahabharavat. And that, yes. That, Mahabharavat, they were all on that platform, these Pandavas. All the so-called trouble and anxiety they went through, in reality they were never suffering, because they were completely detached. But that's a very high platform. Arjuna is in reality an eternal associate of the Supreme Lord, eternally liberated, but is here influenced by this yoga maya, and he brings Arjuna in this situation that he must that he expresses all these doubts so that Krishna can speak Bhagavad Gita. In the 11th chapter, Krishna will bring in the mind of Arjuna the desire to see the universal form, but yes, he had in reality not that desire, because he was completely satisfied to want own form of Krishna. He does not want to see that, but Krishna created desire in his mind, so he expresses it. Very interesting way this Bhagavad Gita comes about, that Anyway, any things to say? Any questions?